I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scantling Center here at Hobart and William Smith. This is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 42. It's Hobart and the Union Garnet Chargers. Find me a quarter every time I say Dutchman, which I will about 100 times. 1 o'clock kickoff at Boswell Field Saturday. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
39-3 over St. Lawrence, and take us through the progression of Johnny Colombi from injury. We weren't expecting to see him out there, and not only played well, didn't seem too tentative. I mean, you ran him on at least one or two designed runs, and he took a couple of pops and got up okay.
Yeah, it was honestly, we didn't think going into the week that he was going to be able to go, but great support from our training staff, and he was very focused and did his due diligence on coming back in terms of the rehab and recovery model that we had set forth for him. He really didn't start throwing until Thursday's practice and was very limited. And then it was more of a Friday kind of game time decision, and then wanted to see him in warm-ups on Saturday. And so I pulled him and True together and just said, like, both of them had prepared mentally to be the starter, which is good. And I look back and I said it in front of the whole team. True did a fantastic job in 2 weeks of just, you know, taking over the starting role. And honestly, his best week of preparation was the week for St. Lawrence. So it wasn't like he did anything to not deserve it. I'm a big believer of, at any position, but especially at that quarterback position and the starters, if you go out with injuries, when you're ready to come back, it's your position. And we have a really good competition, and it's kind of how it's been going this week. But Johnny, with limited reps, probably did twice the amount of mental reps in terms of what he normally would do. And again, I go back to, from when he was first year to where he is now, his preparation is what makes him elite. And in terms of the quarterbacks I've coached, there's not many that have prepared as well as he does in terms of whether he was the number five, the number four, and ultimately when he became the number one quarterback. He obviously will every now and then miss some throws, miss some reads, but like, it's usually if I give him a coaching point, there's not many times I have to give that same second coaching point. So we just thought there was a confidence there in the offense going against a team on the road that we thought that was going to be a really good game. And our offense played efficient early on. We would have liked to get more touchdowns than field goals early on. But that being said, scoring four out of our first five possessions and what our defense was then doing on the other side, kind of, even though the score was closer at half than maybe it could have been, we thought that Johnny, given, you know, having the start, was going to give us our best chance to be successful. And then True ready to come in, and he played and was ready to go.
Well, let's talk about field goals. You want seven, but it's great when you get the three. And Toby Weffring had a little bit of an early season slump, and since then he's back to just nailing everything.
Yeah, I think that was big for him, and not just it was his confidence. It was, as good as he was, it wasn't like we just changed his steps or anything else. It was really more just the confidence, a little bit in his follow through. And that's why I want to make it clear. You go back to some of those early games where, there's all of a sudden like, wait a minute, he's missing kicks. Well, he doesn't purposely try to do that. And it'd be no different than someone missing a tackle or missing a block. We honestly want to coach them through that. But through the weeks, all the way through the beginning of the season, he's been our number one kicker, and that still holds true. And we got some other young kickers that are pushing him, and competition's always a great thing. But, the new surface being the grass field that we don't normally practice on, getting out them early out there in warm-ups and just getting used to it. Again, I thought, we had a couple other opportunities where if we didn't convert, we were ready to kick the field goals, and that's just confidence in the whole unit. And, you think of like Jackson Rucker coming in as a holder. He's really built that rapport. So we had a freshman snapper, freshman holder with a senior kicker. So again, just shows the importance of the week of preparation and building confidence. So whether that's an offense or a defensive player, especially in play, we want our guys to be able to go out and execute with confidence.
So was there a particular reason that you didn't put Johnny back holding?
Honestly, they're both ready to go. And based on the week, like I said, I wasn't sure if Johnny was going to be able to play. So Jackson had gotten most of the reps with Toby. And I went down and talked to all of those guys and just said, what do we feel most comfortable in this moment? And Toby said he felt more comfortable with Rucker at that point. And that's saying a lot to Jackson, especially because, Johnny's been his holder for pretty much his entire career. So now we have the ability, just like we did with True, being game ready as a quarterback. We also feel like now we have that second holder ready to go. So we'll see this week if it's Johnny or Jackson back there. But again, I love the idea of younger guys continuing to earn both roles, larger roles, and Jackson Rucker has done that. He's done a really good job increasing his role since the beginning of the season, and now he's got the trust of his kicker to be able to say he's the holder that he wanted in that game. And obviously, Toby still has confidence in Johnny, so it's nothing that Johnny didn't do. It was just more of that week of practice. Jackson had more reps getting it, so we thought, let's keep that chemistry going.
I think that's a great sign of a team culture when you have a kicker say that, say, hey, you know, and realize he's not hurting anybody's feelings. That's how he feels. You asked him, and he said, yeah, I'm okay. I like Rucker.
Oh, and the thing about it, like, I went and talked to Johnny before. Like, Johnny's so secure. Like, that's, you're right, the culture, the trust they have in each other. They're ultimately trying to figure out what's going to give us our best chance, and no different than, you know, which guard you line up next to a tackle. There's cohesiveness that goes in there. There's a lot of trust in the specialists, you know, from a snapper, holder, kicker to our punters, you know, kickoff guys. The more and more they can get reps with those same guys, you know, I think there's a chemistry that does carry over into the game. So yeah, I thought that was a really good thing for, and I was going to go with either one of them. We were ready to, and again, like this week, we'll figure it out after today's practice on who's going to go. But I really feel like we're interchangeable parts right now with either of those guys holding.
The four field goals were a single game Hobart record. There was a chance at the end. Did you think about sending him out for that 48-yarder near the end?
Yeah, I didn't want it to feel like we were trying to run up the score or anything. You know, at that point, we had our backups in and really just, you know, we needed to convert the fourth down just to not give the ball back to them. But, yeah, I think we were in range and he could have. But I, at that point, regardless of the score, I didn't want to feel like we were putting extra points on that didn't need to go on. At that point, the game was over and you know, we happened to be the better team and got the better of them in that game. But I didn't want to feel like we were trying to put you know, any wrong emphasis on the win against St. Lawrence.
I hate to, I don't know if this is like billboard material for them for the future, but I just, as well as you played, I thought they just did a lot of things to really hand the game to you. That first throw that was intercepted, a back foot throw, he's falling away, just kind of chucked it up for grabs. The two long touchdown passes, we were right next to the coach's booth, and they were pounding the walls and really upset. There was no coverage on either one. They just didn't seem really that well prepared in that game.
Yeah, I think they're well coached. I think they, you know, they obviously had a really big win against Union on that field a couple weeks prior to. I think they are a better team than they showed. I think we capitalized on some things. I also think that, you know, we also earned a couple of those, like takeaways. You know, the difference is when you hit the quarterback, we were showing blitz and we happened to get out of it. So I think the first interception for Chris Toomba was more a disguise. So I don't think that was anything they gave to us. I think we fooled the protection and the quarterback to throw it errantly in the wrong spot, and our guys capitalized on it. But the two wide open throws, for example, were, one was a brand new look that I hadn't seen. So again, I wouldn't say it's lack of preparation. It's offensively being able to game plan and take advantage of something that we saw on video that ultimately worked in our favor. We ran that play three times. We were 3 for 3, and 2 out of the 3 were big throws. So, like, again, every game we're going to throw something at a team, hopefully to give them something that they either got to be drawing up or looking at iPads or talking on the sideline just to kind of, you know, attack their confidence and attack their preparation on. There's going to be something new, and I think that's not – foreign for most teams, but we're going to try to make sure that there's something that they got to be preparing for in game that they haven't seen prior to that game.
8 different pass receivers in that game, and that young group of receivers from week one to now and hopefully heading towards postseason. I mean, you know, Johnny Harding obviously, but Reynolds had 3 catches, and that group's coming along.
Yeah, I think on that day our top 3 receivers were all first years. You know, so again, I think that bodes well for the future. The good and bad of playing young guys is obviously they're getting more and more confidence each game, and hopefully more just timing. But that's what this week's been. Like, we've had some, you know, we've had injuries, we've had sicknesses. It's that point in the season where we're not having the same team line up. So, you know, the 2-deep that we potentially shared on Monday that might not be the exact same 2-deep on game day, just based off of, you know, we have some guys right now this week that are not going to be able to go. So now it's just figuring out who can step up in those roles and what's it going to be. And I thought the last 2 years at the receiver position in particular, we didn't have the depth and the competitive nature to increase. And we saw that at times in the passing game. There's no other ways to say it other than, like, we weren't as deep as we need to be in that position. I think we've hit some right young guys that have kind of really taken off. And honestly, they have a tremendous upside. They're not there yet. And that's the part I'm really working on is just, you know, where we might be getting some catches, but there's still some things to clean up in terms of releases, route recognition, in terms of what the coverage is going to give us. We have a ton of site adjustments and different things based on leverage and what we're seeing from a coverage standpoint. That takes some time. And we missed a couple things even against St. Lawrence. So even though the numbers were favorable, there was a couple times that ultimately got us off the field as St. Lawrence was running a lot of multiple coverages, similar to maybe a couple of the teams we've seen earlier in the season. And that's what we're going to see this week against Union. So ultimately that's being on the same page. Can you match the protection with what the quarterback's eyes and timing is seeing and the reads, and then ultimately the receivers seeing that same thing and then getting to where they need to be on the field? That's a lot of nonverbal communication that we have to get squared away. And we're making strides, but we still have a ways to go if we're really going to put our offense at the top of what we think we can do.
We've talked a lot about what the quarterback's looking at and what he reads. So what do the wide receivers read? If I'm lined up over there wide, what am I looking for off the snap?
A lot of it is reading their shell. A lot of times corners are really taught to, you know, we always say defensive linemen, that they're going to typically be where they want to be unless they want to stunt. Linebackers are really good liars because they don't have to go as far away. But the shell, typically the secondary is going to have to get to where they need to be, or else, as you saw, they can give up big plays. So that's one of the you know, high risk, high reward of the more you want to try to, you know, deceive the quarterback, you also make sure you better be in the right spots. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, we faced some teams that have been a little bit more zone. St. Lawrence mixed in a lot of man. So their safeties were down in the box trying to slow down the run game. That offered up a lot of cover one. So where we're really, the receivers are really looking at is the shell. It's kind of seeing, like, what is that safety versus an overhang linebacker or a roll-down safety slash corner? There's usually two to three guys in their vision. And based off of their alignment and the film studies we've gone through or on the field practice reps, can give a good indicator of one or two coverages you're going to see. You know, so obviously a release is different if it's a soft corner versus a press. Is it inside leverage versus outside leverage? Is there safety help? Is there no safety help? So there's a lot of rules that are kind of built in that we've been doing since day one. But to then go get as many reps against all those looks, especially as we have moving parts, like you know, Tristan Reynolds was out for a couple weeks, you know, and having him come back and kind of get in the mix was good. You know, we had some other receivers that maybe had a larger role, like Jackson Rucker is playing a little bit more receiver now, and Anthony Resetta was back. So we had a handful of guys there. We had to move some guys to the backside because there was some things there. So ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. We don't love to have a lot of moving parts, but, we played, I think, 8 or 9 receivers in that game. Because there's not a huge difference in some of those positions. So that should give us the ability to be fresh, to hopefully have fresh legs come out there. And hopefully that, as we evaluate each week, that might change. But I do believe the last 2 weeks, we really put a lot of focus on building more depth in the receivers than where we were even coming out of game 4 or game 5.
How do you feel about the offensive line at this point? You've had some injuries. You've moved some people around. Sometimes a starter will move to the other side, or a backup might move from a tackle to a guard. So you're kind of always tinkering with it. But it seems like that group is opening up some holes now in the run game, and they're protecting Johnny well.
Yeah, the one sack we took against St. Lawrence was a stunt against a freshman who got his first start at right tackle. Jake ended up getting our rookie of the game because, I mean, he played every single offensive snap, and you know, he had gotten in and he had started against Randolph-Macon early. That was an early start where he probably wasn't necessarily ready yet. I mean, physically and from a competitiveness, he was ready. Just the amount of reps in the offense, he wasn't ready yet. But yeah, we've had a couple injuries. We're down a couple linemen that are either going to be out for the year or, you know, are potentially going to be coming back when they're ready. It seems like the O-line and the tight end group are the two positions we've taken a couple more injuries there. But just like when we talked about earlier with Johnny being out and True stepping up, what we're trying to build in is depth when you don't need it yet. So we've been able to rotate in and get some guys in some situations. I think we're deeper at this point than we were obviously in the beginning of the season, even with those injuries. I think the fronts we've been seeing have been challenging. We've been seeing a lot of movement. We've seen a lot of stunts. So if you ask how they're doing, I think they're doing fine. I think the last 2 weeks, the teams have done a lot to try to pack the box and try to outnumber us in the run game, especially with Johnny being out. I think challenging True and the younger receivers, as we've just already talked about, makes a lot of sense. So I thought that was also another key reason of Johnny being able to come back. And you saw, like, he was pretty efficient with his read and his throws, because I thought that we were going to be able to see it and protect it. So again, not that he was ever in harm's way. Like, he runs and hurdles a guy. So he's not worried about his body. He's going to go compete like he needs to. But I think there was only one True design run early with the fourth down run and whatnot. But, like, sometimes he kind of inserted himself as he needed to. But I think the O-line's doing well. I think they we're going to be tested this week. This is the number one, in terms of sacks in the league. So I think we're going to have a really challenge up front, similar to what we tasked the guys with when we played Ithaca. I think it's a similar front in terms of they're big, they're strong, they're experienced, they're long. I think it's going to be a game that both sides are going to really try to establish the line of scrimmage. And ultimately in football, when you win that line of scrimmage, it kind of opens up a lot of things. So I'm pleased with their progress. You know, we got two freshmen that started last week. We had another guy as a junior. They're coming back from an injury. So we're kind of mixing guys in. I think you'll see six or seven guys rotating in this week with the ability to get up to 8, 9, 10, depending on how today's practice and tomorrow's practice kind of finish up. But I like the fact that we're getting young guys experience, and hopefully each week they can stack that experience with confidence and ultimately lead to more efficient play.
Your defense is now number 3 in the country in scoring, and you're only a couple of tenths out of first place, which I think is Brockport. But the thing that I really see is just these guys inside the 10, they just say no way. I mean, even at the end when you were playing, there were some guys in there that we hadn't seen on the field, I don't think, all year, and they just were not going to give up 6 for anything.
Yeah, I love that resilient effort that they're giving right now. We weren't – I think they had one long play on us that we could have played a little bit better. And obviously, they hit it, you know, so credit their offense. But that led them to the field goal opportunity. But I thought it was great, backed up, that they even held them to that field goal attempt. And, again, the scoring defense stats speak volumes. Obviously, if we can keep that up, that's going to give us a really good chance to win games if we're keeping other teams down in the scoring column. But I think it's more the level of play, the preparation they were going in. Because, again, that was a pretty good St. Lawrence team. I know the score and the stats might not show that, but they've been productive. They've scored on other teams. So I think that's a good sign for our defense. And I thought that was a different challenge in terms of the passing game. And I thought we were able to make the quarterback uncomfortable. So you think about that first interception, a couple of those takeaways, short fields. I thought it was really important that we got off to a strong start and got the lead for our defense. Even if they were, you know, I think 3 out of the first 4 scores being field goals, kind of kept it, I think it was 16-3 at half, still felt like the game was in control. And we've talked a couple adjustments at halftime, came out, and then I think the third quarter really pulled away, which was a good sign of what the team should be doing in terms of in-game adjustments. But love the effort they're doing, love the preparation. I think this week is going to be a tougher challenge and tougher matchup, which I'm sure we'll talk about. This type of offense matches up better against our defense in certain ways, so I think it'll be a good challenge for our guys, and I think they're hungry for that opportunity.
Let's talk about the coaching chess match. I mean, you know John Drock well. He learned a lot of what he knows from you, and you both know what each other is going to do. So how does that play into the game?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, you know, I said it really clearly. I mean, John coaching here at Hobart for years, obviously working together on the same side of the ball, knows our staff, knows our program really, really well. So there's going to be a lot of insight that he knows about us, the vice versa. Obviously, we know about each other. We're good friends in the sense of, you know, off the field, we're going to be able to, you know, wish each other well. And then when it's time to compete on Saturday, I know we're both going to try to do our best to get our teams ready to go. But, yeah, we're trying not to make it too big of a deal in terms of they know some of the things we're doing offensively. They're obviously carrying over a lot of what we have done on offense, they're doing in their offense. There's a lot of similarities. Obviously, over years, some things have changed and evolved and moved. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good opportunity. But I look at it as they're a talented team. They have, despite their record, and I know John's doing a good job preparing them for league play, and they're a much better team now than they were in the beginning of the season. I just think that they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of experience. Our guys are not overlooking them one ounce because they know that in league play, A, you can't do that, but also this team is better than the record shows. So you can look at offense, you can look at defense, you can look at special teams. There's a reason why they have some guys that are leading the league in different categories. There's talent there. I think it's going to be I don't think the experience of us coaching together is going to be a huge part of the game other than we know each other well. I think it's going to come down to which team out on the field can execute, and that's what we put the focus on. And, you know, after the game, I'll go over and give him a big hug and wish him well for the rest of the season. And I know he's going to do the same for us, but I know each team is going to go out and focus on winning the game.
The quarterback, Patch Flanagan, presents a real challenge. He's probably the best running quarterback you're going to see maybe all year long. Any special containment plan? Do you assign somebody to spy him, or how do you make sure he doesn't get loose when everybody drops back downfield, and then he takes off for 20.
Yeah, and that's why I say, like, this is a tougher matchup for our defense in the sense of the – although the St. Lawrence quarterback was good, he wasn't going to be as mobile. And I think you look at their offensive line, they're big, so they're going to be bigger than us. You look at what they did last week against Buff State. Union's going to try to pound, win the line of scrimmage. They have the top two backs back from last year that were very productive. Those guys can make guys miss either with their feet or with their physicality. They're going to play a lot of tight ends. They're going to try to get more bodies at the point of attack than, and we've talked about it, our defensive line and linebackers have played well, but it's different when teams are going to be pass first. And then you throw in their quarterback as a run. So you already have the two really good running backs. Now you have the quarterback who is leading the conference in overall total yardage. He can beat you with his arm, but honestly, some of his best plays have been with his feet. So a lot of those are design runs where they're trying to get the extra hat in the blocker, so it's going to be a good challenge for our defense. And then it's probably the improvisation runs that are like all of a sudden if you lose contain and he gets out of the pocket or steps through the pocket where he's had some big runs. He had two really big long runs. He had over 200 yards rushing in that game against St. Lawrence that we saw. So I know he's a talented guy, and at the end of the day, he's a good player. So it's not like you can change our whole defense on him. We just got to go back to our teaching and understand that we got to do a really good job keeping him in the pocket when we can. And when he does flush, we got to do a really good job tackling because he's able to make some guys miss.
I think this is a big game for your defensive line because one thing that hasn't changed under John Drock, they want to pound it on you. They want to make you crowd the line, bring your linebackers up, and then here comes the big bomb over the top. So I think it's important if that D-line can hold its own, then you don't maybe have to bring seven or eight guys into the box.
Yeah, very true. And John's roots are he gets it. You know, you got to be able to run the ball to be able to throw the ball downfield. And they have some talent. They have speed at receiver. They have a couple of guys in particular with some experience. So, I think at the end of the day, where they were maybe not running the ball as much earlier in the year, the last game coming out of the bye week, I think they've really, really focused on running the ball, and that game plan was pretty clear against Buff State last week, and Buff State was a good defense, and they ran the ball on them very well. A lot of tight sets and really kind of put the extra hat in and trying to be physical, and then that opened up where their quarterback was able to hit some guys and easier coverages because there was less safety help down the field. So, like, again, they still had a handful of receiving touchdowns last week, but a lot of that came from the running game and then forcing Buff State up in the box. So it's going to be a big test. I think this is going to be one of the better tests for our defense in terms of a mobile quarterback, big offensive line, talented running backs, and speed at receiver, where they are going to have the ability in both the run and the pass to attack us. And I think it's going to come down to our game plan, our preparation. And like you said, our front is going to have to do a really good job both stopping and slowing the run, but at the same time keeping the quarterback in the pocket when it is time to, you know, rush the passer.
So what defensive scheme are they playing now? In the past, it was that 3-3-5 stack where they'd bring a couple of guys up and stack on the line. They're two deep lists, a three-man front, and actually five DBs. So what's their actual look that we're going to see?
Yeah, one of those DBs, you know, they can call him a DB. We're looking at him as more of a linebacker. They are multiple. They will typically play, honestly, a two D-line front with a handful of linebackers. Whether you call them DN, stand-up linebackers, halftime, they're in a two-point stance. They're big, long bodies, so they're kind of like DNs, but they're also able to drop off. So they have a lot of those linebacker, rush DN-type bodies, and they're going to mix them around. So like I said, on our end, on the offense side of the ball, this is going to be a really good, interesting challenge for us, too, because they're stout. They have one of the better D-tackles, or two D-tackles we're going to see inside. They're big, thick, strong guys inside, and then a lot of length and speed off the edge, and they can bring different guys from different spots, with experience. Basically, all the starters are back for them in the secondary. Cal Sullivan's brother has been there as a fifth year. Their starting inside linebacker who leads the league in tackles right now is a fifth year guy. He's been there for a while. So with a lot of experience on the defense, although a new staff. So obviously the first time with this defensive scheme, I think they're playing better and better each week. And I think coming out of the bye week, they looked that much better last week on film. So I think they'll have a really strong game plan for us. And like you said, with John knows our offense. You know, we're not changing up a ton of things for these guys. That being said, I think it's going to come down to can our offensive line and our front still protect the quarterback and establish the run game. Because as much experience as they have in the back end with all those starters back, the one position. They're a little inexperienced on the edge perimeter. You know, like some of the DN slash outside linebackers are a little bit younger. But that being said, like I said, there's a ton of experience. I think there's a handful of guys across the board that are really talented with experience. They're going to be in the right spot. We're going to have to do a great job with executing. They're not making a lot of mistakes defensively. So anything we earn on offense, we're going to truly have to earn.
One guy who's not young up front for the fans in your program, number 95, Ethan Vanderbrink, 10.5 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks. I mean, he's a real disruptor. He turns first and 10 into second and 15.
Yeah, and he's, whether it's run or pass, this guy is, like I said, one of the best D linemen we're going to face. He was a DN whose body got bigger, and they're using him inside. So you'll see him sometimes on the edge, sometimes inside. So he can beat you with his rush technique. He can beat you with his strength. His effort is very, very good. So he's beating double teams. He's going to end up being a guy that we're going to have to do a really good job on to try to minimize some of his big plays. And you just mentioned how many tackles for loss, how many sacks. I mean, he's by far the leader in sacks in our conference in terms of, and that doesn't count all the other plays he's disrupted. So I think it's going to be a really big task, like I said, for our offensive line, not just to say we know where he's at because they have other good players around him. You know, you talk about the leading tackler in our conference is the linebacker behind him. So it's not like you can just key on him.
Right.
Their front is pretty good across the board, and I think that's going to be a really good challenge to see how we match up in the run and the pass.
One last thing. Let's talk about playing with poise, because this series in the past very often has turned on the 15-yard retaliation for the first thing that they didn't see. I mean, it's Union and Hobart, and they get after it.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing about it. And you know, obviously they've had changeover in their coaching staff, and John has familiarity with this. He's going to get them fired up. There's no doubt this is going to be a huge game for his team and them. We know that coming in. We're going to expect their best, and not just their best talent-wise, but emotionally. They're going to be well invested in this game. I think our guys as well. I mean, we've had a handful of alums over the week that have reached out, and they know you throw away the records when these two teams meet. I think it's going to be a physical game. It's going to be an emotional game. So we talked about playing with poise. You know, that's going to be important, whether that's in the trenches, out at the skill positions. You know, I just think this is going to be a highly contested game that's going to, you know, if things play out, could be a really close game all the way through. And can our guys sustain the focus and poise they need to execute while playing with high intensity and high emotion? That's always the slippery slope balance. You want to make sure that our guys are not playing, you know, flat and playing tentative at the same time, making sure that there's controlled aggressiveness and that we can be really poised to make sure that we're not giving away easy yardage, easy first downs because of lack of focus and control.
Anybody listening to us today, get to the Boz if you can, because in that Ithaca game, I mean, you had the 12th man, you had 2,400 people there. What a great atmosphere. I know it's not homecoming, but let's hope we can get that playoff atmosphere going at the Boz here one more time.
Absolutely, and I think, and I said that to a couple of different people that asked. I mean, that Ithaca game was a huge win for us in a lot of ways, but it was because of the energy. I mean, you could just feel it from our fans, which is our loyal families and friends that travel everywhere. But there was also a handful of people from our community, from the campus that came out, and it was a great environment. There was people that walked away saying, "Man, I want to come back to watch more games." And I think that's our goals. Our guys are going to play hard. We're going to give you a good product to enjoy the environment of what you're going to watch. And I think this is going to be a game with a lot of tradition, a lot of rivalry, two really talented teams going at it. Both teams have a lot to play for, and I think that's the exciting part about it, is it's going to be another exciting environment here this Saturday afternoon.
Another chapter in one of the biggest rivalries there is, Hobart and Union at the Boz this Saturday, 1 o'clock. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple or Spotify or such. And, of course, all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. We've been talking with head coach Kevin DeWall, and we'll see you Saturday.
Awesome. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.